get. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday 2008 edition of Wednesday, yes, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Hey, did you ever have one of those nights? You ever have one of those nights where you go to sleep and your brain won't shut down? You know, you go to sleep and your brain just whirs around for hours and hours and hours. Well, that happened to me last night, and then I had to get up early this morning. And I had I did a show with a new host that's on the network, Nadia Shamsuddin. And I would ask all of you guys, you know, I don't know whether you're listening all day long or whatever, but if you get a chance, you should tune into this lady. I had a conversation with her yesterday, and it's very interesting. She's a very, very interesting, very intelligent, very well versed woman that's been around the world. She's of Arab descent, and boy, I'll tell you what, she's got some stories to tell. And she used to be a correspondent over in, I believe it was Dubai. So I had a pleasant conversation with her. Was on her show today, had a wonderful time, even though I didn't get any sleep last night. But I'm going to ask all of you guys, if you get a chance, tune in. Her show is on from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. I enjoyed it today, and I gave her a couple of tips that I'm sure that she'll take. She's going to have some really interesting guests coming up. And speaking of guests, you guys might recall that I had mentioned last week that I had sent an email out to none other than Judge Andrew Napolitano's agent. And since he has a couple shows on Fox TV, I really didn't think anything of it. And then she sent me an email back, and she was talking about, well, you know, what are your demographics, and who are you, and this and that and the other thing. So I fired that stuff back to her, and I didn't really think anything of it. And I thought, yeah, you know, when pigs fly, this guy's going to come on. Well, guess what, guys? I got Andrew Napolitano coming on my show, and I'm thinking we're in scheduling right now, but I'm thinking it's going to be next week. So that one's going to be a great show. I watched a 48-minute speech online of this guy talking about the Military Commissions Act, the John Warren Defense Bill, the Patriot Act, and he went through it and he dissected it. And I'm telling you right now, I was mesmerized. It was fascinating to watch, and I am fortunate enough I'm going to be able to have this guy up on the show, and he's going to share this with you guys. So that's really, really exciting. Now, a couple of quick plugs here. As you know, I forgot to take my Cartavite today. Sorry, Don Wiskin, but I'll run over there and take it during the break. Maybe that's part of my problem. Maybe that's not why I'm not feeling as up to snuff as usual. But anyway, give Don Wiskin a call at Cartavite, 877-928-8822. Again, that's 877-928-8822. Tell him I told you to give him a call, and tell him that I'm going to take my pill as soon as I go to the first break, and hopefully by the end of the show I'll be running around the parking lot. And don't forget my buddy John Onesti at 505-296-2453. If you have a question about finances, you want to find out about where to move your money, where to make the most money, where not to put your money, gold, silver, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 401ks, or whatever you want to do, give John Onesti a call. Very pleasant guy to work with. Again, that's 505-296-2453. Okay, with that, now, I'll tell you what. Well, shoot, I'm not going to tell you anything because we're going to go to a break, and I was a little bit long-winded there. Got a little bit behind on myself, but we'll be back in three. I'm going to get into interesting question today. Do we own ourselves, or if not, does? We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, the American Beginning, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick around. Call your friends and neighbors. It'll be a good one. Let's be right back.
Mm-hmm. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And, folks, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot going on. The Michigan primary, Romney won on the Republican side. Hillary Clinton won on the Democratic side, you know, the Clinton-Bush tag team. And I'm getting to the point where, you know, there's no – the preponderance of the evidence, if you will, is so overwhelming that there's hanky-panky going on with the vote. We got a recount going on in New Hampshire. And then we've got a PayPal account where the granny warriors have been out there diligently collecting money for this recount for Albert – what's his name? And PayPal turns around and freezes the account. Now, I don't know whether they actually outright froze the account or whether with PayPal, maybe some of you out there know, or whether it just takes 3 to 5 days to process it. But at any rate, it's just awful, all these coincidences. And it brings to mind a question, and I'm going to pose this to you guys. In actuality, are these candidates looking for our vote, or are they entertaining their puppet masters who have the ability to steer the election by controlling the voting machines to whichever candidate dances best to their satisfaction, while the whole time they're laughing behind closed doors? Now, this question's been haunting me for a couple of days. And it poses the next question, and that is the topic of my show today. Do we really own ourselves? And if we don't, who does? It also brings up this shadow government. How deep does it go? And how long has it been going on? Now, You know, how is it that with no law, and I ask you this because I have promoted freedom to fascism. I've got it up on my website. As you folks know, the longtime listeners, I used to put these out. Bobby, a friend of mine in Austin, I used to send you to an email address, and he'd send out freedom to fascism left and right. And right now, John Stadtmiller's got a program going where he'll send them out 10, 20, 30, 50 at a time. I've got some I ordered, and they're back ordered because they're going out so fast. And in that freedom to fascism, Aaron Russo, the late, bless his heart, Aaron Russo states that there is no law, or he proves that there is no law regarding income tax. Yet, there are so many patriots that are either in prison, such as, you know, Irwin Schiff or Dick Simcannon, Larkin Rose did a 13-month stint, or they're standing on the precipice of prison. Sherry Jackson, I'll have her up on my show tomorrow to give us an update on the case. Wesley Snipes is the latest one. Wesley Snipes is going to be in the spotlight on this one. I'm going to be following that. But it brings to mind this, again, the parallel, the shadow government, the secret government. How long has this been going on? And I had a good listener up in Oregon. I believe it's Eastern Oregon. Don splits it up into East and West Oregon. He sent me a whole ream of paperwork here. I don't know, it was a couple of months ago. And, you know, I perused through it, and I looked at it, and it was very, very complex. And I was so busy doing other things, so I didn't really have the time to get into it. So the other day, I went in and I took a good long look at it again, and I read it and I reread it, and it took me quite a while. Then I went into the archives of RBN, of which you might want to do this as well, and I listened to a couple of Sam Kennedy's show. Sam Kennedy's on the weekend, and I wrote Sam Kennedy an email, and he emailed me back. But at any rate, what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to read some of this stuff to you, and I'm going to toss this out here for your own critical dissemination. Because I have to tell you, folks, this makes a lot of sense, and it's bone-chilling to me. Because, yes, on the surface, and I, by the way, I'm one of those nerds that has read the entire Internal Revenue Service Code, not once but twice. I did it years ago. I did it back in 1995. But and talk about a boring read. I mean, you know, it's all in legalese. But what's interesting is that Irwin Schiff taught me how to read it. And once you understand how to read that Internal Revenue Manual, and you understand how cleverly they word it and the tricks that are in there, you come to the realization that, indeed, there is no law. The only thing that they do is they cleverly disguise the fact that there is no law, and they convolute it to the point where they make you think there's a law, and it's an assumed liability. But that being said, I've got to go through this today. And by the way, it's quite lengthy, and if I don't get through it all today, I'm going to, and I'm not going to be able to get to it tomorrow, Friday or Monday, because I got Tim Wingate coming on sub-hosting for me. As you know, I'm going to be out of town for a bit. But when I get back, the first day I have open, I'll finish this up. And I'm not sure when that'll be, but I'm going to archive, and I'm going to tailor the archives from today to whatever day that may be. Excuse me. So let me start this. According to the dictionary, a capital letter is defined as a letter of a large size used at the beginning of a sentence or as the first letter of a proper noun. According to the established rules of English grammar, a proper noun designates a particular person or thing and is written with an initial capital letter. For example, you know, capital J, O-H-N, small letters. After the initial capital letter, the remaining letters of the proper noun appear in lowercase. When this formula is applied to the name of a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, the proper noun so formed is called the, quote, true name. There is no provision for proper nouns to be written any other way. Why, then, do some sectors of society absolutely insist on corrupting one's true name and converting it into an all-capital letters format? The answer to this question is a most significant issue upon which the administration of the entire world now functions. The matter of the wholesale institution of an all-capital letters name for every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth is a prime mover behind the strategy and tactics of those who would have you surrender the fruits of your labor in perpetuity, i.e., work for a slave the rest of your life, in order to guarantee their continued comfort and aggrandizement. As can be discovered by anyone who chooses to investigate, an all-capital letters rendition of one's true name makes no particular significance in today's world except in legal matters or proceedings, as in a courtroom. And with further observation, it is easily discovered that a courtroom is the official venue for the control of personal freedom and the transference of wealth between adversaries. Enforced by legalized deadly violence, tax agencies don't even bother with courts. They just use the UCC and take the sheriff along for enforcement. A courtroom is basically a modern substitute for the dueling field, a civilized version of a battlefield. In earlier times, courtrooms may have been truly impartial tribunals in their administration of the particular form of law being practiced. They may have even served a useful function in the social order, allowing disputants to resolve their differences with dialogue and consensus rather than violence and chaos. But those days, however, are ancient history, and the courtroom today may be accurately likened to the headsman's chopping block of less urbane times. Now, how did we get here? Well, this is where it starts to get interesting, folks, because when I read this, and I had to read it again, I had to read it a few times to really get it to sink in, but when I read this, remember back many shows ago, and I've told you this more than once, you know, I had to go back and rethink everything I learned in school because I realized that most of what I learned, if not all of it, in history and so forth, was a lie. And here we have yet another example. So let me continue. America converted from United States notes to Federal Reserve notes, or FRNs, beginning with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. We all know that. Federal Reserve banks were incorporated in 1914 and, beginning in 1916, began to circulate their private corporate FRNs as money alongside the nation's de jure currency, United States notes, whereas the United States notes were actually warehouse receipts for deposits of gold and silver in a warehouse bank, thus representing wealth, substance, portable land, the money of sovereigns. The new fiat money, FRNs, amounted to bills for which has yet to be paid, i.e. for what is owed. For the new benefit of being able to carry around U.S. government debt instruments, or FRNs, in our wallets instead of gold certificates or silver certificates, we agreed to redeem the newly issued FRNs in gold and also to pay interest for their use in gold only. Now, basically, the Fed issued paper with green ink on it, and we agreed to give them gold in exchange for the privilege of using it. Such was the bargain. When more and more FRNs were printed and circulated and redeemed in gold, and the resultant interest payments on the new, quote, money, unquote, came due, we dutifully forked over our gold stocks, which were promptly shipped off to England or Germany. America's gold supply was soon depleted, and the United States government could soon no longer honor its contractual financial obligations to the Fed, a condition known in the business world as insolvency, a.k.a. bankruptcy. Some describe the bankruptcy as part of the accidental theory of history. However, as is easily discernible from the legislation that was enacted into law at the time of the bankruptcy, openly or otherwise, the vicissitudes of money and law seem to be fairly well synchronized with each other. Senate document number 43 of the 73rd Congress, first session, 1933, declared that ownership of all property is in the state and individual so-called ownership is only by virtue of government, i.e., law amounting to, quote, mere user only. An individual use of all property is subordinate to the necessities of the U.S. government. In other words, we're going to let you use this money, but it's ours and we can take it back anytime we want to because it's fiat. At the Conference of Governors on March 6, 1933, the governors of the 48 states of the Union accommodated the federal bankruptcy by pledging the faith and credit of their state to the aid of the national government. On March 9, 1933, Congress passed the Amendatory Act to the Trading with the Enemy Act of October 6, 1917, at a time when the United States was not in a shooting war with any foreign foe, whereas the Trading with the Enemy Act excluded citizens of the United States from being treated as the enemy when involved in FRN transactions wholly within the United States. The Amendatory Act rather included the people of the United States as the enemy. Now, I'm going to read this footnote down here. By operation of law, the American people became the enemy of the private IMF creditors in bankruptcy who have thereafter been administering their conquest through the alter ego and front, the U.S. government. Be back in three, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. This is going to get really good, and it's going to get really deep. You got to follow along this. You might have to listen to this show again to get it, folks, but I got it, and it sent a chill down my spine. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, we're back. I'm not ready to make nice. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. I'm going to continue this. I'm going to read this last sentence again so it sinks in, folks. Whereas the Trading with the Enemy Act excluded citizens of the United States from being treated as the enemy when involved in FRN transactions wholly within the United States, the Amendatory Act rather included people of the United States as the enemy. This was due to the government having become an administrative agency for the Federal Reserve creditors in bankruptcy, thus ensuring the total legal, political, financial subjugation of the American people. After the banks had been emptied of their gold, the only remaining gold in America was in private hands. To obviate all possibility of carrying on in commerce without the use of FRNs by using the remaining gold coin and gold certificates as a medium of exchange, the owners of the Fed had Franklin Delano Roosevelt declare all ownership, was that Franklin Delano? Yeah. Declare all ownership of gold to be illegal as of May 1st, 1933. And that, by curiosity, is May Day, the birthday of communism and the International Workers' Holiday. It's a holy day to those behind the scenes. Curious, isn't it? All ownership of gold coin, gold bullion, gold certificates was outlawed. For every single day that one failed to turn in his gold, he incurred the penalty of $10,000 in fines and 10 years in jail. Since owning gold was now illegal, interest payments could be made only in FRNs, thus cementing the Fed's control of all wealth in America. This new deal also meant that the nation's supply of FRNs would be continuously depleted after making repeated interest payments in FRNs, unless more FRNs were borrowed just to have enough currency in circulation to avoid a depression, an ever-worsening debt situation. Now, under House Joint Resolution 192 of June 5, 1933, Senate Report 93-549, and Executive Orders 6072, 6102, 6111, and 6246, the Congress and President Roosevelt officially declared bankruptcy, and the United States government was commercially and legally conquered. As a bankrupt entity, the United States government could no longer obtain credit from the efforts of the great Roosevelt and a corrupt companion Congress, lousy with attorneys. The future labor of every American was pledged, without his or her knowledge or consent, by the way, in exchange for continued credit from the Federal Reserve, a piece of political legerdemain of unparalleled scope and consequences. Now, enter the Department of Congress, the Bureau of the Census, the Federal Reserve created finance corporately colored mirror image all capital letter name that begin to appear on the birth certificate of every newborn. And by the way, I just ordered a copy of my birth certificate, folks, got it back about a week ago, and you bet, it's all capital letters. Just like the innocent-looking wooden horse that carried enemy Greek soldiers past the sentinels of mighty Troy without suspicion, every new birth certificate with an all-capital-letters name inscribed thereon carries a soldier of a different kind past the otherwise vigilant defenses of unsuspecting sovereign men and women. This type of soldier is classified as a, quote, person, unquote, a construct of law, and is far more insidious than the Greek type could ever be. The inscription of this all capital letters name on the birth certificate now accomplishes silently and effortlessly what could never be achieved or maintained with all of the armies in the world, a society of volunteer slaves. Voluntary compliance. Does that ring a bell? The birth certificate is the foundational document that legally establishes the existence of the artificial person with a grammatically correct all capital letter name that, when spoken, sounds exactly the same as that of the true name of each respective newborn boy or girl. The birth certificate is a security, a negotiable interest instrument, and constitutes legal title to the corporately colored, newly created artificial person known in the resumption vernacular as the straw man, whose all capital letters name appear on its face. The contemporary certificate issued by a state or county government is not the original, however, merely a certified token of the real thing, which is held by the issuer. And by the way, when we see the certified token, okay, we look at the title of your automobile. That doesn't say title. It says certificate of title. Certificate of the real title, which is held by the state. Is this ringing a bell to you, folks? Is it starting to make sense? Let me go. Let me continue. As with the registration of any document of title, possession of the original birth document evidences a perfected security interest in the property registered therein, i.e., the all caps name. Your straw man is an article of property. The all caps name does not refer to you. I repeat, it does not refer to you, the man or woman, as does your true name, but it does belong to you, and you are the only being lawfully and commercially entitled to claim legal title to the name because you are the only one from whose existence the name was derived and is purported to pertain. And you are the only one who gives or ever gave value to the name. It was derived solely from your arrival in this life, and legally you have been benefiting from its existence ever since. The problem is that your mother, your legal guardian, until you reach the age of 18, unwittingly surrendered possession of this corporate name when she endorsed the original birth document. As you will discover, there are only two ways that a secured party can perfect a security interest in the property of a debtor. One, the secured party takes possession of the property slash collateral, or number two, the debtor signs a security agreement. The acquisition of the original birth instrument that brought your all caps name into existence falls into the first category. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue with this when I get back, folks. This gets heavy. This gets deep. Takes a lot of concentration, but I'll tell you what, it makes all the sense in the world. And I've investigated what investigation I've done on this. It makes more sense than anything I've seen yet. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm continuing here with this pretty lengthy expose on what may just very well have happened to us many years ago that we didn't even know anything about. So let me continue here, folks. The voluntary act of registration, and by the way, there is no law compelling public registration of anything that is purely private in nature or purely private in use, including automobiles, signifies that the registrant voluntarily surrendered equitable title to the property that was registered, thereby confirming the registrar's perfected security interest in that property. And you can relate to UCC 9-302 in parentheses 3, in parentheses A, in parentheses 4. That verifies it. And it also, when you look at the title, as I said before, on your automobile, it's a certificate of title. It's not a title. That also adds further evidence to it, folks. A perfected security interest. Oh, by the way, I want to read the footnote here. If you've ever wondered why hospitals are so adamant about executing a birth certificate for newborns, according to one officer of a county recorder's office, the hospital receives a $4,000 commission from the county for every new birth certificate submitted for recording. That's interesting, isn't it? Back to this. A perfected security interest amounts to legal title, because even though the property is owned by the debtor, the secured party controls completely the disposition of the property by virtue of possession. In this case, the document of title wherein the new corporate entity is created constitutes possession of the property because at the time of registration, it was the only place where the property exists or can be found. Following its registration, nothing could legally be done with that property without the consent of the secured party. Nothing, that is, except redemption by its rightful owner. The only being who gives value to the name and can be the holder in due course. And that's you. An analogous relationship to that of debtor and secured party under the UCC is one between a borrower and a pawnbroker. The broker brings in an item of property to get a loan of money against it. The pawnbroker takes possession of the property and makes a loan to the borrower, issuing a claim check for redemption of the property once the loan is repaid. The property serves as collateral to guarantee repayment of the loan by the debtor, and the claim check is the redemption certificate that allows the borrower to redeem/reclaim his property from the pawnbroker within a specified time. The redemption period by paying off the loan. It also serves as proof of the borrower's claim as legal owner of the property in case the pawnbroker decides to violate the contract and liquidate the collateral prior to the expiration of the redemption period. Now, in the above transaction, the pawnbroker perfected his security interest in the property by taking possession of the collateral. The government perfected a security interest in your straw man by taking possession of the instrument wherein your straw man was wholly brought into separate existence, i.e., born. Namely, your birth certificate. Even though the straw man is your property because of the fact that it was legally wholly brought into separate existence on a piece of paper, in the eyes of the law, it is an artificial person and a corporate entity. That explains why I've looked at my master file that I got through a Freedom of Information Act, and the codes in there said that I was a corporation. Interesting. Let me continue. With which you or anyone else is entitled to do business or contract if so desired. The certified copy of your birth certificate issued by the state is your claim check on a new corporate property. We're all a corporation, folks. What do you think of that? You reacquire title to the straw man simply by accepting for value. And by the way, value is a highly significant term in the UCC code, and comprehension of the redemption process requires a working understanding of it. Accepting for value the birth certificate. You give value continuously, and you started a long time ago, like about the time you got a Social Security number, got your first job. That's when you started giving value to it, folks. Albeit unwittingly, so as a matter of that the Fed accepts for collateral to lend credit to the United States government from whom you receive transmitting utility benefits. Although you fulfilled your end of the deal by giving value, you never picked up the property that was in hoc when you turned 18. Are you getting it, folks? You never picked up the property that was in hoc when you turned 18. And even though you never retrieved it, it is still your property, and you are the only one who can ever retrieve it or claim it. And why is that? Because you are the only one identified on the claim check. We are talking about mother, father, place, and exact minute of birth, footprints, fingerprints, weight, height, hair color, height, or weight, length, etc. This is why only you can ever be the holder in due course of that instrument and why no other can ever be more than a mere, quote, holder. The transaction is incomplete, in suspense, and has been so only because you did not know of its existence. All that is needed to complete the cycle is for you to tender your claim check, i.e. birth certificate, and redeem your corporate property, i.e. your straw man. Now, the commercial registry located in each state exists so that the creditor may formally establish the legal relationship between himself, herself, and the debtor. It allows for the creditor or secured party to register a perfected security interest, a lien essentially, in the property of the debtor, thereby ensuring repayment for specific performance by the debtor. At the time of creation of the birth document, your straw man became the debtor and the bankrupt U.S. government, and by the way, again, that's a front for the owners of the Federal Reserve, the federal government became the creditor, secured party. Since you, as a month-old infant, were incapable of making legal decisions, your mother mistakenly guaranteed that the debtor straw man would perform exactly as expected or commanded by the state until you attained the age of majority, whereupon you took on those responsibilities without knowing that there was any option. After devising the foundational legal vehicle for the con, the birth certificate with a new corporately colored artificial person named on it, all that was left to consummate the deal was to persuade the people who had pledged their labor, American men and women, that they should be happy to forfeit the fruits of their labor in perpetuity to provide their, quote, fair share. Gradually, over the last 6.5 decades, the world's governmental, legal, corporate, and financial industries were organized to address all, quote, customers, unquote, only in their alter ego, their mirror image, their corporately colored, fictitious, juristic person. Further compounding the confusion on a populace less and less able to fend for themselves when assaulted by the privately owned, all-devouring, legalized, violent system by which the world conquers, administer their subjugation of mankind. Wow. And I'm just cracking the surface here, folks. Private law and kangaroo courts. Contrary to what is generally believed, courts in America today do not impartially dispense law on behalf of the inhabitants of this country, but rather slavishly serve the conquering masters and deal only with artificial corporate persons in private, copyrighted international laws owned by British corporations, namely, and it goes through here, and I'm not going to name them all, the Thomson Group, West Publishing Company, Reed Elsevier owns, there's a whole slew of them, folks, I'm not going to name them all. Further, and listen closely here, okay, the American Bar Association is a branch or subset of the Bar Council of England and Wales, and the term Esquire, and I hope my buddy in California is listening to me today because he happens to be an attorney, the term Esquire, flaunted by most attorneys in America, and by the way, he does a good job of doing that, is a title of nobility, the granting of which is prohibited by the Constitution. In the British class system of contemporary feudalism signifying a member of the English gentry, ranking immediately below knight and above the rank of gentleman. The world's more respected lexical authority, the Oxford English Dictionary, defines esquire in part as follows. A man belonging to the higher order of English gentry, ranking immediately below knight. Applied to various offices in the service of the king. In the United States, the title belongs officially to lawyers. The term esquire comes from the Latin word scutum, or shield, and signifies one who bears a shield against those whom the king wishes to engage in battle. The instant an attorney includes esquire in his title or office, i.e. his DBA, he admits to be operating under a title of nobility granted by a foreign and hostile power, thereby committing treason against the very Constitution. The attorney swears the oath to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. How about that, folks? The courtroom dog and pony show, by the way, speaking of the courtroom dog and pony show, I'm watching a dog and pony show in these debates and in these election processes, these primaries and so forth. It's all a dog and pony show. I'm 95% convinced of that. I'm waiting to hear the outcome from Bev Harris on what her investigation is, but I'm 95% convinced it's a dog and pony show, folks. The courtroom dog and pony show has been worked almost to perfection on behalf of those who exist to enslave you. Judges receive specialized training in how to keep the court's turnstiles churning briskly and how to keep the endless line of paying customers from getting too curious about what is really going on behind the scenes and figuring out the Wizard's Light show. The truth is, contemporary courts are legally restricted to trafficking only with corporations or corporately colored entities, such as your straw man. Artificial persons all, which should begin to give you an inkling of the absolute indispensable necessity of foisting and forcing upon you an all capital letters name that you will misidentify with both yourself and your true name. Such is the nature of the game. You comprise the true source of wealth in the wizard system, and as such, you are also the mark. You must be able to fall for the con at any cost, and there are no limits to the extent that the wizard's henchmen are allowed to go to deceive and intimidate you into erroneously making the central legal determination upon which the entire system functions, that all caps name equaling you. Now, to implement the government's new deal, characterized as You forfeit the fruits of your labor in perpetuity so we can channel them to our real masters and yet still live lives in luxury as VIPs. VIP, very insidious politician. There had to be a vehicle, a nexus between the state and the individual, between the artificial and the actual, which would provide the VIPs, the actors, with enough legal jurisdiction to enforce such a con on the unwitting Marx, naively the trusting people like us. How does an artificial person, like an incorporated government, interface with a sovereign, sentient man or woman? The corporation exists only by force of or in contemplation of law. It is an abstract and arbitrary construct of the mind and can be found only in the filing cabinet or some piece of paper such as a corporate charter or articles of incorporation or birth certificate. A corporation cannot speak or act. Men and women speak and act. Corporations exist only as an idea and must be spoken for. Governments interface with real people first by secretly appending a corporately colored name to them, then by getting people to believe that the new construct refers to them, but without actually ever saying it, then finally by revving up the system to turbine-level RPMs and never bothering to tell anyone the difference. And all under the guise of unimpeachable altruism, unquestioned benevolence, and self-sacrificing munificence for the good of all. It's an old story, and it's not too complicated. Now, life is not a mistake, folks. It does not exist and has not thrived for billions of years by being so defective and infirm as to require being corrected and managed by an allegedly superior class of beings like politicians, judges, and attorneys. People can get along quite well in the absence of being micromanaged by an extraneous complex of agencies, judges, and attorneys usurping their lives by tricking them into identifying with the all-capital-letter assemblage created by master criminals with malice and aforethought. A real being and the notion of a corporation are like oil and water. They do not naturally mix. They must be shaken up together in order to produce the temporary appearance of being part of the same thing. The shaking must also be continuous and furious, or the true nature of the mixture begins to reveal itself. This brand of shakeup is more properly classified as a shakedown. Names of artificial corporate entities are written in legalese, artificial English, the all capital letters. Names of men and women are written in accordance with the rules of English grammar. The wizard's con begins to take effect the moment a man or woman mistakenly believes that the all caps rendition of their true name identifies them or her, the flesh and blood being. Now at this point, the mark has been successfully conned. When actors in government can make you believe that an all capital letters name refers to you, they have successfully accomplished the most critical step of the wizard's con, upon which all subsequent steps are justified and predicated in entirety and follow in logical sequence of being able to legally subjugate you and separate you from your freedom, your wealth, and the fruits of your labor. By answering to the all caps name, you approve or accept, i.e. consent to and confirm, the proposition that you are the artificial person so named and addressed and are also at that instant transported without your knowledge from black and white reality through the looking glass and into the colorable Alice in Wonderland crazy house phantasmagora of statutory law. 60 million statutes on the books, over 3 million law books on file in the Library of Congress as of June 2000, populated by judges, courts, prosecutors, attorneys, government agents, law enforcement officers, and a plethora of other limited liability artificial persons. Now, here's the wizard's secret, folks. Behind that seemingly harmless little phrase, limited liability, lays the entire secret of the wizard's merciless assault on you and every other decent American man or woman who was ever pronounced guilty just for being a naive sucker who trusted or respected authority. Hundreds of millions of people are forced by law to assume their proper station in life as though the universe begat them solely for such purpose of being an enslaved, chattel property, legal incompetent, sentenced to a life of work to enrich a handful of arch charlatan multi-trillionaire elite while being relentlessly indoctrinated and brainwashed into believing that they are working to improve their own lives. Talk about mission impossible. The wizard has accomplished much to date and has been accorded the opportunity courtesy of limited liability. Behind those two little words is hidden the entire secret of the wizard's light show. You see, the corporate benefits coin of limited liability has two sides. By being corporately colored, your straw man is entitled to all of the benefits that come with limited liability. However, along with the corporate benefits of limited financial and legal liability also comes the corporate peril of being unable to speak for yourself, the corporate requirement to be represented by an attorney, the corporate mandate to follow the, quote, law to the letter without deviation, all 60 million ever-evolving statutes concerned with ignorance, or concerning which ignorance of the law is no excuse. We've all heard that before. The corporate requirement to maintain books and records and produce them for the state whenever requested. Being foreclosed from access to common law, commercial law, or any other form of genuine law founded on discerning the truth in order to effect genuine justice. The possibility of being unable to confront your accuser because your accuser is an artificial person. And the possibility of being criminally victimized by government actors who hide behind the wizard's curtain of limited liability and claim judicial immunity and other such title of nobility schemes and artifices. We'll be back. Much more to come. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know if this is getting your attention, folks, but it's certainly got mine. Be back in three.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, short segment coming up to the top of the hour. Tell you what, let's see. I'm going to continue with this, folks, but I want to read one quick thing to you, and this comes right out of the Code of Federal Regulations. Any of the following types of crimes, federal or state, are considered commercial crimes. Offenses against revenue laws, which poses the question to me, was Dick Sim Cannon, Larkin Rose, Irwin Schiff, were they all looking in the wrong place here? Were they in there arguing one thing while there was a complete, like a shadow government, a complete mirror worth of laws on the other side, and that's why the prosecutor and the judge were all smiling during the trials like Cheshire cats? Think about it. Going back to this, the Wizard's Light Show. You have to hand it to him. The Wizard Fellow is a very, very clever one indeed. The Wizard of Oz, my friend, was the Wizard of Oz, i.e. the Wizard of Ounces, ounces of gold. That is, he managed to acquire so many ounces of gold and became so wealthy that he could afford to pave with yellow bricks the road that leads to his home, a solid gold road. Now, that's wealthy. To keep up appearances and maintain his power, he devised and operated a terrifying light show, replete with fire and flames, intended to overwhelm any and all who experienced it. Of course, it was all just a show, an act, hot air, basically, but folks were so frightened by the encounter that the idea of questioning the wizard's omnipotence never crossed their mind. The wizard didn't have very good security for his operation, though, relying on nothing more than a flimsy curtain to shield him from the eyes of terrified subjects as he put on his show. Basically, he was hiding in plain sight. But no one had the courage to look past the offered entertainment and find out what was going on backstage, behind the scenes. Possibly because the operation was so vulnerable to disclosure, hidden only by a curtain. The wizard made sure that the dial on the ferocity factor was turned up high enough to dissuade even the bravest of souls from getting too inquisitive about the nature and cause of this racket. It has been said that dogs can see through a phony facade and sense evil or evil purposes in people. In the story, little Toto didn't fall for the wizard's blustery act like Dorothy and the others, but rather trotted right past the blazing lights and spewing smoke, unaffected by the wizard's thunderous amplified voice, and simply looked behind the curtain, and that was all it took. The wizard was exposed for the hollow fraud that he was. As it turned out, the wizard wasn't the ferocious, all-powerful potentate that everyone had assumed. Nervous, cowardly, devious megalomaniac is more an accurate description. Now, the wizard's got assistance. The light show that each of us faces in the world today is a contemporary legal system in which imposing setting called a court, and the light show is operated by one of the wizard's modern assistants, an assistant wizard called a judge. And the curtain that shields every assistant wizard from exposure as the fraud they are is an artificial corporate concept called limited liability. This notion of limited liability is employed by every judge in America to protect both him and his masters from the neutral repercussions they create for themselves by wreaking wholesale piracy and legalized deadly violence against those who would have had the audacity to work hard, try to get ahead, and then try to maintain their new standard of living for themselves. To the wizard and his minions, such practice is blasphemous. It's intolerable. It's unforgivable sin and a direct affront to the wizard's claim of absolute right to ownership of everything in existence. And such blatant disrespect and insolence is dealt with most severely. Okay, folks, top of the hour coming up. I'm going to continue with this when I get back. I don't think I'm going to take phone calls today because I may not even get through this entire thing. I'm about halfway through it now, and this is definitely worth hearing and digesting. So when I get back, we're going to continue with this. This stuff is deep, but we need to absorb it, folks. Be right back. Second hour coming up. And I'll keep paying.